I want to talk to you about this season, this timing. There is some argument about the timing of the biblical calendar right now because of the Aviv. The Lord has confused the calendar for a purpose, and I'll share that with you in a minute. But I'm going to start out sharing with you what Eve Brast had to say. She said, I asked Father a series of questions about March the 28th because of my dream about this, when the Lord said to me, are you ready for March 28th? Well, you know, the bride has to be ready for March 28th, okay? And I'll talk about the calendar change in a minute, but I just wanted you to see this, okay? This is the day after, by the way, Nisan 17. If you have studied on our site what we said about Nisan 17, you see it's a very, very important day. Many very magnificent things in history have happened on this day. It's also this year the day of the first fruits. So Nisan 17, and coinciding with first fruits, this year, this happens on an average of every 7 years. So if not now, we could have another 7 years before we would have this particular sign. Okay? So this is very important. And Nisan 17, by the way, is the day before March the 28th. It's March the 27th. And tonight is March the 23rd, which is the Passover, Nisan 14, when Jesus was crucified, as a type, by the way, of the man-child of our day being crucified. So this is a very important. So we're talking about this time period between the 23rd and the 28th here. And it's just stock full of importance, you know. And three more days after the 23rd is the resurrection on the 27th. And the 27th, by the way, is Nisan 17, when Mordecai, as the man-child, stood before the King of Kings, Ahasuerus, and received the ring of authority. That was on Nisan 17. Very important day. It's a sign of the man-child, the sign of the coming of the man-child. And 14 is the sign of the crucifixion of the man-child. Okay? So you can go to our site and type in Nisan 17 and you'll come up with that article that we have there. It's very, I think, important. Anyway, the next day after Nisan 17 is March the 28th. In Eve's dream, the Lord spoke to her, are you ready for March 28th? And her revelation, which we're going to share with you in a minute, is that the faction will meet their judgment then. Now, we're looking at a sign here. These days all represent something. We know that from dreams and the Word that they meet this judgment by the Lord manifested in the man-child through this crucifixion. And so far all the wonderful signs we have received were signs of things to come in the future. And it could be so in this case, too. You know, the Lord has given us many signs to know what was coming. And it may be that this is the case of this situation, too. But I have a lot to share with you. So, I want to say that, however, why did the factious leadership crucify the David man-child body of Jesus so that he could be caught up to the throne of God? Why did they do that? It was to shut him up. They were tired of him calling them adulterers for sowing their own seed in their father's wife, who, in effect, they killed with their witchcraft words, just like the faction does today. We have four dreams of an attempt to sabotage our broadcast ability in these days. A sign of shutting up Jesus, who lives in me, David, as a type and a shadow. God is identifying who is who here. I'm simply being used by God as a sign of a much larger David man-child company of reformers in whom Jesus lives by his word and spirit. So, how awesome that we have now come to March the 23rd, the Passover, according to some Aviv observers, which we're going to discuss a little later, when the lamb was slain by the faction. And I just received this revelation about the crucifixion of the man-child by silencing him from God last night. The faction made out that Jesus was evil. I'm talking about in Jesus' day. They made out that Jesus was evil, and they killed him, according to his parable, to steal the flock or vineyard or harvest from the owner's son, who is Jesus. Remember that parable? Or parables that point that way. But it didn't work, because the stone which the builders rejected became the head. They crucified one who was now going to rule over them. Bad deal, right? Had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified him, the scripture says. So they made a major mistake. And so they will in this day too. A major mistake. History just keeps repeating. As the Bible clearly shows us, all we got to do is learn to read the types and shadows. But history just keeps repeating on a larger and larger scale with more and more people. And that just proves that God is on the throne. And that men make the same mistakes, and God answers them the same way. That's all it proves, you see. Now, we found that March 28th was a time in history when the Catholic leadership tried to force the Jews as a type of God's people into an Antichrist covenant, but God visited with an earthquake that killed the false religious leaders that tried this, and the Pope quickly removed the edict. And that's also on our site. And if you get this text, you'll be able to go to these links. So that was an amazing revelation there of how history is about to be repeated. It's not with the first Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. The Catholic Church was their one world religion. They mixed all the religions together in Constantine's kingdom in order to make peace under one headship. They tweaked it here and tweaked it there and just, you know, and that's what they came up with, the Catholic or universal church. Now, once again, we're seeing the world trying to make a universal church. And they don't mind tweaking the scriptures a lot to make it work. But the people who are purists, who believe that you can't add to or take away from the Word of God, are not going to stand for it. And that, of course, makes the world mad, because they want to have peace through agreement, even if the agreement is a lie. You know? So anyway, the apostate factious leaders, with the help of their Antichrist spirits, tried to force God's people to submit to their false covenant and God of faction and witchcraft. That's happening. Now I want to get back to Eve here. You know, she asked the Father a bunch of questions about March the 28th because of significant dream that she had. Are you ready for March the 28th? Eve there represents the bride. You know, Eve was the bride of Adam, and Jesus was the second Adam, or last Adam. Okay? So Eve here represents the bride. And she said in the first question she asked, I asked Father to give me a verse for March the 28th, 2016, and received Psalm 64:8. My finger was on the words, shall be made to stumble. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. And all that see them shall wag the head. Well, we've received this before. The faction who war against the righteous with their tongue will stumble by falling into the pit that they made for the righteous. How is that? Well, just remember, this man-child that they're crucifying, it was like when they crucified Jesus the first time. It set him free from that fleshly body to serve God in a much bigger way and to rule the kingdom. And there's a parallel there because Jesus is now coming in a larger body because history repeats with larger groups of people. The larger body is called the man-child in Revelation 12. So when they crucify the man-child, guess what? They just created something that they just could not handle. They fell into the pit that they digged for the man-child. Remember Joseph's brothers. Joseph was a type of the man-child. They threw him into a pit, right? But then, when they went to Egypt, guess who was ruling over all of Egypt and them too? And number two, I then asked him, how will they be made to stumble? And I received Isaiah 51 and 21. And my finger was on the words, afflicted and drunken. Well, they are afflicted by witchcraft and faction and are out of touch with reality, meaning they are spiritually drunken. And so then she asked another thing. She asked, Father, if the man-child's anointing is connected to this date, and received Luke 8 and 1. My finger was on the words, soon afterwards. You know, many times a sign, if it's useful, it comes before the happening. Otherwise, people don't get the warning, right? Soon afterwards. And it came to pass soon afterwards that he went about through cities and villages preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12. Well, you recognize something that's going to be repeated in our day. The 12 went forth two by two. He sent them out in every place he was about to come, and he represents also the man-child in our day who's going to do the same thing. This is a revival. The anointed man-child company will lead the revival shortly after the Sennacherib scenario or the northern army's defeat as a type of the faction defeat. As God said, they will fall in the pit that they laid for the righteous. Yeah, because of their crucifying of the man-child, David's, they will be caught up to the throne so that they can defeat the faction movement. As you know, the dragon in Revelation 12 was waiting for the man-child to be birthed so that he could swallow him up. But before he could do that, he was caught up to the throne, and then, you know, there's nothing really the dragon can do with that. You know? Mike Schoberg was looking into the dates, and he wrote this to me on March the 29th in 2015. And, in other words, right after the 28th. And, he said, in 2016, the new moon will be spotted either on the 10th or the 11th of March. Will the barley be Aviv that early in March? A lot of times it is, but sometimes it isn't. Okay, now this is where the confusion has come in that I'm quite sure the Lord put in there. There was confusion if the barley was enough aviv, which means it heads up, it starts bearing fruit, right? If it was enough aviv to declare the new year or not, because that's how you did it. When the new moon showed, you checked for the aviv. And if it's there, fine. If it's not, you got to change. And if it's not there, there would be added a leap month. Now, you know, the lunar calendar doesn't quite match the solar calendar, but the things that God put in there to change it, like this particular leap month, makes it all work out, right? So, now this could confuse as to when the man-child and covenant come. Think about it. I've never run across this before. I've never seen this before. It probably has happened, but I don't know about it. Where they were confused as to whether there was enough aviv or not to make the first month of the year this month or next month. This time must be uncertain because the scripture shows it will not be known until the beginning of the 7 days, until it actually comes, as with Noah and Daniel's timing. You know, when God spoke to Noah, he said, in 7 days the floodwaters are going to come up. In other words, he was at the beginning of the 7 days. The 7 days is the tribulation, and Noah got the revelation of when the beginning of the tribulation was when God spoke that to him. The same with Daniel's timing. You don't know how to count out the days in Daniel's timing at the end of the book of Daniel unless you know when the first day is, and you don't know when the first day is until God tells you. And people have calculated and calculated and come up with this and come up with that, but the scripture does not teach that we're going to know the beginning of the tribulation, the covenant. He'll make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's a week of years. That's the tribulation. That covenant we also received in dreams is going to be hidden. In other words, they may spring it on us because it's been hidden that they're doing it, or it may be hidden at the beginning and the only ones know about it is the people that are particularly alert, like the man-child. So, could it be now or next month? Or a sign for the future? That's our question. It's obviously a sign, a great sign. So this confusion about where we are right now is very abnormal. It's something I believe God has done in order to hide the coming forth of the man-child and the beginning of the tribulation. So, back to Mike's email here. He said, let's suppose that the barley is aviv and the new moon is spotted on March the 10th. Then the Passover will be on Thursday, March the 24th. Okay? That's a Nisan 14, which is the crucifixion. Right? It was the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, but it's also the time of the crucifixion because the Passover was because they slayed the lamb. The lamb is Jesus, right? The lamb in our day is Jesus and the man-child. Nisan 14 is the crucifixion. So, and the day of first fruits will be on Sunday, March 27th, which is Nisan 17. In other words, that's a coinciding couple of very important days there too. This is the man-child Mordecai appearing before the King of Kings at resurrection after the 3 days, March the 27th, Nisan 17. That's when Mordecai appeared before the king and was given the ring of authority by the king in Esther. So, very important day there. It's a sign of the coming of the man-child. Nisan 17 is a sign of the coming of the man-child. Right? If the new moon is instead spotted on March the 11th, then the Passover will be on Friday, March the 25th, Nisan 14. And the day of first fruits will be on Sunday, March 27th, Nisan 16. Right? All right. If the barley is not Aviv, as the new moon is spotted on March of 2016, then there will be a leap month, and the new year will begin on April the 8th or April the 9th. So instead of the new year starting this month at this time, it will be next month at that time, right? Now, the problem is, when the teams went out to look for Aviv, that is the barley heading up, that's the sign, that and the new moon is the sign of the new year. Some people said that there was enough Aviv to consider that the time. Others said, no, there's not enough, we'll have to wait till next month. So there was a total split in the groups here. And so there is confusion, and guess what? A lot of people might be wrong. And even the people who think they're right still don't know. Now, that's amazing. The timing is not known. Don't we know that that's what the Scripture says about this time? Wow. Okay, let me back up a little bit and say that again. If there is a leap month, and the new moon is spotted on April the 8th, then the Passover will be on Friday, April 22nd, which is Nisan 14, and the day of first fruits will be on Sunday, April the 24th, Nisan 16. If the new moon is instead spotted on April the 23rd, then the Passover will be on Saturday, April 23rd, Nisan 14, and the day of first fruits will be on Sunday, April 24th, Nisan 15. So again, this confusion would show up at this time to conceal the possibility of knowing the day or the hour. Okay? Continuing with what Mike said, God has chosen to let a lot of important events take place on Nisan 17. Possibly even the resurrection of Jesus, who represents also the man-child, which seems to have taken place in 30 CE when the day of first fruits and Nisan 17 coincided. This happens on an average of once every 7 years. So, now, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of the man-child, on Nisan 17, in other words, caught up to the throne. When Jesus was resurrected, he was caught up to the throne. The man-child was caught up to the throne. Mordecai was before the throne of Ahasuerus, you know, who was the king of all kings, representing Jesus. And he gave to him the ring of authority. Now, in 30 CE, was not only Nisan 17, it was the day of first fruits. They were coinciding. So that's why we think they could coincide this time, which is this year. In 2016, on March the 27th, the day of first fruits and Nisan 17 will coincide again. Very interesting. If the new moon is spotted on March the 10th and the barley is Aviv at this time. It's interesting to note that March the 27th is the date that Scott heard in connection to the multitudes of people being shaken very hard and very long. It sounds like he was talking about the March 27th was the beginning, or represented the beginning of the tribulation. Or the beginning of the earthquakes. Because we know that when the man-child comes to do his work, there's going to be major earthquakes. And because in the parable of Jesus, there was a big earthquake when he died, and then there was a major earthquake when he resurrected. And we've received that many times concerning his coming. his resurrection, of being caught up to the throne, etc., etc. So, another interesting thing is that from March the 7th, or 3-7, which is the date Amos Skaggs received as the starting date for the countdown to the tribulation. From 3-7 to March the 27th, there is 3 full weeks of 7 days, which is another 3-7. Very interesting. 3-7. The Lord told him that this was leading to the tribulation. On our site, this word was given to Amos Skaggs, and it came to mind concerning 3-7 on March the 7th. And this was first dated on December 2005, I believe, when we first put it on the site. The countdown, this is what was told to Amos, the countdown that will lead us into the tribulation will start on March the 7th, and it will last 7 years. So the countdown that begins the tribulation starts on March the 7th, which is 3-7, and 3 full weeks of 7 days leads us up to, yeah, you guessed it, March the 27th. So we haven't exactly known how this parable was going to work out, but this may be it. Anyway, according to this word, it has to be a 3-7, which could mean 3 7-day weeks till March the 27th. And that comes just before the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. So all this is a sign of timing, right? Is it going to happen on this? I don't know. Because, you see, I'm talking about on these dates, I don't know. Because many times the sign comes, of course, before the happening, so that people know about it. So, it could be. It could be. And so, Missy transcribed Scott's dream, along with some of my comments afterwards, as Haggai, the scripture, and comments, and she said, "Your comments on the dream and the scripture witnessed with my spirit as to what is about to happen." Well, Scott said this. He said, "I had a dream on March the 11th this year, which was 2006. By the way, in 2006, there was a delay. In 2000 and in 2006, there was 2 delays. It was kind of like Amos, you know, spoke about 2 delays and then the happening. Amos said, "How shall Israel stand? How shall Jacob stand? He is small." And God relented. And then he did it a second time. And then he said the third time it was going to come to pass. 2006 was that second time. And he said, "In this dream I saw multitudes of people being shaken very hard, and it seemed to go on for a long time. And I asked in this dream, 'What's going on?' And I heard, 'March the 27th. I then woke up, March the 27th. Well, there you have it. 3 weeks or 3-7s leading up to March the 27th. And he woke up. And the shaking could be for those who have become ready by March the 27th for the coming of the Lord and the first fruits thereafter on March the 28th. Like God said to Eve, are you ready for March the 28th? Not everybody's ready. I mean, who is going to miss the bride but those who are not ready, right? And we also believe that the New Madrid quakes will bring the man-child, the revival, and partial economic collapse. And the final one to come, too, a little later. But before these quakes, we believe a large quake will come on the east coast of the United States. And we believe that because of dreams, more than one dream, that from different people that seems to be pointing to that. So could this dream have been for this year? This month,
or next,
depending upon the Aviv. God's confused things, you see. Well, we'll see. We will see. 27th and 28th are mentioned many times. So, in the book of Haggai, the Lord speaks about shaking. Shaking, you know, is something God is going to do to bring people into His kingdom. Haggai 2:6 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Well, he also speaks of that in Hebrews, doesn't he? Amen. "And I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come." Do you know we have earthquakes that are, in fact, we have had earthquakes that actually shook all nations, although not very much, and even tilted the earth a little bit, but not very much. So you know it can happen. And the Lord's talking about an earthquake that is going to go around the world. "I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." The precious, the desired, actually, also, the desired of all nations shall come and fill this house, meaning Jerusalem, the bride, right? So we see two things here. First of all, the Lord Himself is coming to bring glory to His house. And also, the Lord in His bride is coming to give glory to His house. So the precious, or the desired of all nations, is coming to fill the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, spiritually speaking, not physically speaking anymore. Well, the precious things that He's talking about are God's coming in His people, right? The desired of all nations shall come. The ones that God desires out of the nations, when the shaking happens, they're going to come to His temple. They're going to come to abide in Jesus Christ. And verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." You don't have to worry about money, folks. If you're in God's will in the tribulation period, He's going to provide your every need according to His riches and glory. If you're in the bride, the Bible speaks a lot about multitudes of riches coming to the bride, and that is for the purpose of taking care of the saints during the tribulation period. Because as you know, the people of the world are going to be trying to cut the saints off and fire them for their jobs and so on and so forth. You know, they can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, etc. You know. Well, the vessels of God's house that were taken to Babylon, the gold and the silver vessels that were taken captive to Babylon, God said would be restored to the temple. And that's God's people. The vessels of God's temple, that is God's people. The gold and the silver vessels is God's people. And they're going to be returned. They were taken captive by Babylon, and they'll return. And verse 9 says, "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Now that house is in Zion. It's in Jerusalem, which John was told is the bride. So it's not the whole church, as we heard from the apostate churches, you know, they want easy religion. They don't want to live the crucified life, but they just want to, you know, fly away or whatever. Anyway, abiding in Christ or abiding in the new temple of the Most High is the place of safety. You know, like in Psalm 91. Verse 21 says, "Speak to Zerubbabel," which means born from Babylon, "the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms." Oh, boy. And I think he's doing that now, but more so in the future. "I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them." Of course, these are the people who chased God's people into the wilderness, but were cut off at the Red Sea. Again, a judgment before the tribulation, because the wilderness is the tribulation. So there's a judgment, there's a Passover before the tribulation. And this is was speaking about the people of God who are coming out of Egypt to go into the wilderness, to go to what? The promised land. Glory be to God. If you don't come out of Egypt, you can't go to the promised land. But let me tell you, you can't fly away coming out of Egypt. You've got to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Contrary to popular opinion. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one, by the sword of his brother. Oh my goodness, now that didn't happen at the Red Sea. We're talking about the Jehoshaphat War now, which we received just the other day. The three armies that came to destroy Jerusalem, the bride, killed each other off. He's mixing two parables here, isn't he? But he's telling you what's going to happen. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, that's born from Babylon, and we've come out from among them and to be separate, right? Coming out of Babylon to God's true house, God's true kingdom. Amen. Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet or a sign. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. He's a sign of the man-child. He's the same sign as the sign of Jesus. Well, the white horse rider was seen by Merlene Laughlin in our meeting on March 28, 2014. And this is her vision that she saw on 3/28, March the 28th. That's interesting. During our Friday meeting, she said, while singing, the battle belongs to the Lord. The final time, I had the following vision. The Lord was riding a white horse. Uh-oh. So much for that Antichrist riding that white horse. It was the Lord riding the white horse, which is the truth. No, it's not the Antichrist. But I was only seeing the side area of the horse's head near the mane. The mane was blowing back, and I heard the snorting of the horse. And I saw the Lord from mid-chest up in a white garment. In his strong, muscular right arm, he held the reins in a tight grip, showing his control. His mantle was blowing in the wind, and he took his free hand and gave it a quick motion of throwing it back out of the way. He had the look of stern determination. Well, look and remember that the Lord is the white horse rider, not the Antichrist. Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And this is the first seal. It's the beginning of the tribulation period. And it's the white horse rider. It is a judgment for the white horse rider to come to earth. Right? And I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. And following this are the horses of war, famine, and death, after this. But notice, it's Jesus, and he's got a bow. It didn't say he had arrows. Thy children are thine arrows, shot from thee. When Jesus started his ministry, what did he do with his children? He sent them forth. Yes. And that's, Moses, same situation. He was the man-child in his day. Joseph was the man-child in his day. David was the man-child in his day. Jeremiah in his day, so on and so forth. Ezekiel in his day, Isaiah in his day. There were quite a few types and shadows of the man-child, so we can see timing, you see. And then the Lord said unto her, he said to me, Do you have any doubt that I can take care of your enemies? Aha, I don't. To deliver you from bondages and heal your diseases. I have already done this. Yes, he already did this. We win, folks. Read the book. The enemy loses. We win. The verses that came to me were Isaiah 59 and 16. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm, who is Jesus, right, brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself in with zeal as a mantle. Here's the white horse rider, and it's the Lord. Okay? According to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense. Well, amen. I'm just going to read a little bit more of that text. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord driveth. And a redeemer will come to Zion, that is the bride, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, which is Israel. Notice, Zion is not Israel. It's just the leadership of Israel. The Redeemer comes to Zion. That is those that represent those who turn from their transgressions in Israel. Notice that. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. He's talking about the bride. And then it goes right into 60:1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So now you know who the bride is, those that turn from transgression. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, that is, those who come out of the nations, or out of Egypt, or out of the world, are going to see the light of the bride and come. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Wow. Okay, I want to share with you one more thing that's kind of along this line, and is very interesting, about the Torah codes. I got an article here. It's the Torah codes point to Messiah and Nibiru next week. And, of course, I got the link here. Richard Shaw, a producer and director of the film Torah Codes, End to Darkness, and Rabbi Glazerson, one of the world's leading researchers into Torah codes, share new findings pointing to the Messiah and Nibiru. That's right. Something significant happening at Purim, which may refer to next Wednesday evening, the 23rd. Well, no. Now we are at the 23rd, and we know it is this evening that is the Passover, but he's talking about Purim, right? Of course, that was a celebration of God's people escaping their enemies. So, he says it refers to next Wednesday evening, the 23rd, or to Shushan, Purim. Shushan was the palace of the Assyrian Empire. And to Shushan, Purim, which is celebrated in Jerusalem beginning next Friday, the 25th. So somewhere between the 23rd and 25th, he's talking about, in 2016. Note, if this did happen, the Messiah would have to be here for the Passover on 323 anyway, right? 323 or 324. That because, of course, their Jewish day starts in the evening before and goes to that evening. So the thing about the codes is, like Michael Drosnin, who wrote Bible Codes, said that there are five paths or five ways. And this is according to man's reaction to God's word and who prays and who believes. Things change when you pray and believe. We know that. We've seen that. So what happens when things change? Well, you go down another path, hopefully a good path. And also there could be words. Let me tell you something about codes in general, okay? There could be words that are not searched for in these code matrices. Like this is a matrix I'm looking at right here in front of me, or two of them actually. I'm looking at in front of me, and what it is they line up the words and they bring it into a short box and they find out, I'm talking about the words of the in this case the Torah, and they find in there skip sequence words which give messages. God not only wrote the book, he wrote it as a computer software, you know. I do believe that, well, I'll just point out to you some things it says. It says Nibiru 5776. Well, that is this year, 2016. That's the Jewish year for this year, 2016. And then it has Purim in that matrix. And it has the threat. The thread here is pointing right towards the word Nibiru 5776. And the word Esther is there. Obviously, because the Purim parable is there in Esther, and so is Mordecai, and so on and so forth. And then here's another matrix. It has Nibiru, star, 5776. It has, now listen to this, it has Mashiach, Purim, Messiah, Purim, and it's on a skip sequence of what? 5776, this year. It's on that skip sequence. That's amazing. So God, you know, has a wonderful way of hiding things and show you wonderful surprises. I'm going to read a little bit more of the article here. And it says, prior to an event we know, there are also signs from heaven to be on the lookout for. Today, in our previous article, Sunset Angels' Wings in the Sky over Cornwall, UK, we reported a strange phenomenon in the sky during sunset in Cornwall, UK. A photographer captured a sun with two wings. I have the pictures here. I'm looking at it. And it's very amazing. And Chloe Moore from the Royal Meteorological Society said a sun with wings is very rare, and as far as I am aware, there is no official name for this phenomenon. Okay, it can happen, a sun with wings, and it could be just a rare sky phenomenon, but what if it happened twice within a short period of time? On January the 13th, 2016, another photographer from the town of Kola on the island of Kauai, Hawaii, took a photo of the sunset. But instead of a beautiful sunrise, she took a strange apparition in the sky that looks like a sun with wings. And there, I'm looking at the two pictures side by side. You can look at them when you get this. Compare the two suns with wings. They are the same. It can't be a coincidence. It's amazing looking, too, actually. reminds you of Nibiru, although this is not Nibiru. This is some kind of a strange phenomenon with our own sun. Maybe the Lord is warning that Nibiru, which comes with wings, is coming. But anyway, back to the article. It says, given the facts that Rabbi Glazerson refers to Nibiru, also known as the winged planet, I wonder whether these winged suns or guardian angels in the sky are signs from heaven. Anyhow, we will see if Rabbi Glazerson's new findings indeed refer to an upcoming celestial event next week. All right. Well, yeah, we're there, so we can find out while we're here whether it's just a sign of things to come or whether it's actually a happening going to happen this week. So that's very, very interesting. I just thank the Lord for those signs. It's not a chance that it's an accident of these many things coming together in one place at this particular year, I don't think. But we see that these days from March the 23rd through the 28th in 2016 are a sign of crucifixion, of earthquakes, of faction judgment, and of the revival to follow. And again, it's confused between March and April because God designed it that way, or He caused it to happen that way so that no one would actually know. Suppose this same sequence would happen next month, anyway, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out, the scripture says. Ain't God good? He's hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, Jesus said. Amen. So, we thank you, Father, for these wonderful signs and the many others that you've been sending us. They can't be accidents. And they're obviously coming from your hand. You told us to expect in these days signs in the heavens. And we're seeing those. And signs upon the earth, we're seeing those. And we just thank you, Father, for revealing these things. We know that what the sign is at least saying today is that you're coming soon. You're coming to save your people. You're coming to judge the wicked. You're coming as the white horse rider. And I think March 28th definitely represents that. Because on March the 28th, God saved by an earthquake his people, or those who represented his people, from the apostate universal religion trying to force them into their mold. We thank you for that, Father. Well, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us the rest of this puzzle and show us things. Lord, we praise you that we can see that your bride is holy, your bride is separate, your bride is not Israel proper, but those who are promoted above Israel as the bride. And we want to be holy, Lord. We ask you to grant us repentance from all things that are displeasing unto you. We ask you, Lord, that we might be in that number. We ask you to do awesome signs and wonders and miracles and provision, Lord. We know that you delivered us out of the power of darkness. We know that you made reconciliation. You made the exchange between Jesus on the cross and us. And you gave us his life. And you crucified our old life on that cross. We were crucified with Christ. And we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. So we claim it, Father. Our faith, we know you will bring to pass. Amen. And we thank you for all these signs that you've given us, Lord. We love you and we praise you.